Text 51551 today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
As part of RTE's week-long focus on climate change, we turn our attention now to something different. Pop-up repair cafes are growing in popularity right across the globe. The cafes, well, they help people with those minor but potentially costly repair problems that affect us all. And on top of the cost saving, the environmental case for a repair economy is obvious. It saves natural resources and it reduces waste. Well, with me in studio for more on this is Claire Downey, executive with the Community Reuse Network Ireland, and Geoffrey Rowe, who's an engineer who volunteers in repair cafes. Thanks to you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Okay, Claire, a lot of people listening might not know what repair cafes are. So tell us how these repair cafes work and what they are.
Okay, so as you said, repair cafes are about trying to revive the culture of repair and share repair skills. So how they work is the public is invited to bring in any broken thing they might have for repair. And I'm sure everyone listening can think of at least three things at the bottom of a cupboard languishing, waiting to be fixed. And we get volunteer fixes in to show those people how to repair the item. They work together and share the skills and show people how to open something up and replace parts and so on. And all of this takes place in a social environment, so it's much more enjoyable than sitting at home watching a YouTube video on how to do repairs yourself.
Are there many repair cafes at the moment in Ireland?
They're happening on an ad hoc basis and certainly not with the regularity or extent that we'd like to see. And that's because it's very difficult to get the right kind of insurance to run a full repair cafe. And by that, I mean that people can bring in electrical goods, which usually make up around 55% of all repairs that come in, as well as your clothing, textiles and bicycles and jewellery and all of that as well. So at the moment, there's not an easy insurance solution for that.
So, in principle, are the repairs carried out for money or, you know, is it a barter? Do you have a skill to pay back? So if I bring in, say, my clock, I want it fixed. I'm a dab hand with a needle. I could say, I'll turn up your trousers. Is that the idea?
You don't have to offer anything back. There's no expectation at all. So it's supposed to be a kind of safe environment where people can bring anything, even repairs that should be easy, even buttons. You know,
but you have to pay for the repair.
No, it's all free. The whole event is free and it's run by volunteers. Now, you can make a donation if you want to, but generally they're run as a completely free event.
Where did the first repair cafe originate and what was the reason for its founding?
So it started out in the Netherlands by a lady called Martine Postma in 2009. And the whole reason was just to, I suppose, revive the repair culture. She knew that a lot of people around have repair skills and really want to help and love taking things apart, like in the makerspace talk that you'll talk. And there are now 1,500 repair cafes worldwide with 50,000 people attending them every month. So it's really taken off globally.
How many in Ireland?
There are no regular repair cafes in Ireland, but there are a number of events. And when they do come up, we always share them on our own website, crni.ie/events. There's a repair cafe in Belfast that takes place every month. And actually, the next one is going to happen this Saturday. And there's also a monthly sewing repair cafe. It's only focused on sewing in Dublin on the first Tuesday of every month as well.
OK, so if someone listening now said to you, why would I bother fixing my toaster, which isn't working? Sure, I can pick one up for about a tenner.
Yeah, the cost is an issue. And I suppose it ties into this discussion around climate change. Why are we reusing and repairing? And there's two reasons. First of all, reuse and repair keep stuff going for longer, so we don't have to buy new things. And there is a huge hidden cost, I guess, we're not really aware of with buying new stuff, because you have to extract raw materials, you have to process them, manufacture and distribute them. And take the fashion industry alone, we know that that has a bigger impact on climate change because of all these upstream effects than aviation and shipping combined. So it does have a huge hidden cost, and that's what we're trying to avoid by keeping things going for longer. But it's very hard to measure, and it is a global impact. The second impact of reuse and repair is reducing waste, of course, and then we don't have to incur any of the emissions from waste management.
Just before I bring you in, Geoffrey, because you are an engineer, I mean, some people carrying out these repairs, they aren't always qualified. So there are no guarantees with repairs. Am I right?
Yeah, they're volunteers. So it's made very clear when you go into a repair cafe that the person doing the repair is volunteer. But most of
but
them
how
have.
Do you know they can actually repair something? Like, electrical good. And
they would mostly either work in that area or have some kind of qualification in that area. So electrical repairs in particular, for the insurance policy that was live until recently, all items were PAT tested. So the repairers had to have PAT testing qualification. That's portable appliance testing qualifications and the equipment tested. So there is an assurance that it would be safe to take home.
To be fair to you, Geoffrey Rowe, you are a qualified engineer. You have a full-time job, but you volunteer. Tell me, how did you get involved?
I got involved when Claire originally contacted me a few years ago in the organisation, TOG Hackerspace, that I'm involved with, where she was reaching out looking for people who were interested in DIY at the time. And in Dublin City, we were kind of a group that's been going about 10 years now of people who meet up and repair. So I was kind of got involved with that as a pre-existing group to come along to Claire's repair cafes and give a hand to the public.
Really good. And what was your impression when you first got involved? Were you impressed?
I was very impressed by the people who came along and their interest in seeing that their object or their good have a new lease of life. Typically, people brought along objects that are very precious to them. It was a radio that they love listening to in their kitchen as they made breakfast each morning, or it was a nice lamp that they always sat down beside while reading the newspaper. So these objects that people brought along were very, very important to these people, yeah, and they really wanted to see them have a new lease of life.
Do you think, Geoffrey, because obviously you're an electronic engineer, do you think maybe a lot of people today, they don't really think about repairing electronic things?
I think there's a big trend to just throw it away and buy the new and latest piece of technology. They don't really see the lifespan going. But I think it is changing. We see a lot with every town in Ireland has a small phone repair place, you'll see, because these devices have become so commonplace in people's lives. So we do have a bit of repair culture creeping in through the devices in our pockets, but it hasn't been widespread for all devices in people's homes and lives.
Now, your skill set is obviously electronic, but have you learned, Geoffrey, other skills by your involvement in these cafes?
Most definitely. I think what's great about these cafes is you have a group of people and then you end up forming these little multidisciplinary teams where you have the other repairer sitting next to you that might go, oh, a common problem with this type of device is this capacitor. Why don't you check out that? So you get this great peer-to-peer learning aspect between the repairers and picking up different skills from each other.
And Claire, are councils involved? I know we spoke a little earlier about the insurance issue. It's, you know, an issue for so many people and businesses. Are councils involved?
They were involved at the beginning, but then this insurance question came up. So what a repair cafe needs is product liability cover. At the moment, we're being told by insurance companies that unless each repairer has their own cover, that we can't run the event. So unfortunately, local authorities can't be associated with them in those circumstances.
What kind of space do you need to hold one of these cafes?
It can be a community hall. The last event took place in Phibsborough in a church hall. And we actually had some really interesting repairs at that one, including nuns' rosary beads, which was quite sweet. So it can be anything, and part outdoors as well, because we have bicycle repairs or larger items like furniture can also be repaired outside. So it's quite flexible.
I mean, obviously, it's sounds like a great idea, but realistically, you know, if there are insurance issues and there isn't yet one here in the Republic of Ireland, what are the chances of it taking off here, these repair cafes?
I think there's some work around insurance taking place with the Alliance for Insurance Reform, and we'd like to see some changes there. And also there's a real policy drive now for this circular economy, and there is a need to focus more on reuse and repair. So I think we will see it happening. And we are seeing, as I said, smaller repair cafes happening, like a sewing repair. That's quite easy to do without the complexity of insurance, which is mostly to do with electricals.
And obviously we know Geoffrey does great things because he's an engineer. But Claire, apart from, say, rosary beads, what other kind of things have you repaired?
We've seen at these events everything from there was a shattered plate one time that took almost 3 hours to reassemble, but it was a beautiful...
Why would you bother? What is it?
Sentimentality. There's a Japanese art form of reassembling shattered
ceramics. What is like a Ming,
ceramics.
Ming plate or a John Storrs plate? I mean,
a lesson in patience. Okay. We've had a household gong, a money counter.
What's a household gong?
Like a dinner gong.
Okay, I don't have one of those. Sounds a good idea, though. Go on.
A money counter, cuckoo clocks. The most common items are sound equipment, actually, radios, CD players.
What's the most unusual thing you've ever had?
Well, I think some of those, probably. A money counter that was during the
Celtic... What's a money counter again? Like,
it counts coins. And we've had, during the Celtic Tiger, there was a wine cooler, which is just for wine, a wine fridge. TVs, blenders are very common. Coffee machines are very common. So just everything that people can carry, really, will come in.
Finally, what's the most unusual thing you've actually fixed, Jeffrey?
I guess I dropped into Tog last night and there was people repairing a sail bag. They brought in this giant piece of canvas that he has a boat down in the marina, but the sail bag is falling apart and he was trying to learn how to use a sewing machine for the first time. I thought these guys are definitely not a traditional skill that you would associate with these sailors, but they just started repairing a sail bag last night. I thought it was incredible.
Okay, well, look, congrats to you both and for being a volunteer and for doing such good work in this area. Claire Downey, Jeffrey Rowe, we'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.